It's been an unusual summer. And my guess is that most of us trust it's not going to be repeated. For many of the obvious reasons, pestilence in the land is not a great thing. Social unrest is not a good thing. So it's an unusual time. And yet it's an unusual time for many of us for other reasons. Some of us have graduated from high school or college. That's a change. I teach at a school where they talk about lifers that started at the Christian school as a kindergartner and go through 12th grade. They don't know anything different. When they graduate from a Christian school like that, there's some real panic that might set in. Things are different. I have never been in a big school. I've never been outside this community. And now they're going to go off to college. People have been in college after 4 years. It's done. Now what? Well, I'm now into the rest of my life. I'm commencing with the rest of my life. I don't know what that looks like. There's a lot of uncertainty. Some of us got engaged this summer. That's a change. Some of us have had babies or will have babies. That's a change. Families will change. They will never be the same. Vicki and I saw our youngest graduate from college, and we're entering a whole different stage of life of kind of no kids at home. We're not responsible for anybody. That's different. Some of us have retired, get into a whole new stretch. So again, for other reasons, maybe really good reasons, this summer and spring have been also quite unusual. And for each stage of life, there are songs. It's kind of neat about the song book of the Bible. The Psalms speak to all of the emotions of the soul, which is why Calvin called it an anatomy of the soul. But it's also for stages of life. So Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? That's for youth. Psalm 139 speaks of being knit together in my mother's womb. That's for the time of pregnancy and even before birth. And then you come to Psalm 71, verse 18, to old age and gray hairs, O God, don't forsake me. So there's psalms for the beginning of life. There's psalms for the entering into the youthfulness of life. And then there are psalms for the latter years. So particularly for you owls, you who are older, wiser, lively still, you know who you are. This psalm is for you, particularly. It's also for all of us who would like to be one someday. So this is in preparation for some of us. I don't yet consider myself old. Some of you might. I don't know. I don't think of myself like that. But what we hear in Psalm 71 is the expression of faith and hope of an older saint. So hear what the psalmist says. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, for my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You who have made us see many troubles and calamities will revive us again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Psalm 71. As a whole psalm, taken as a whole, this song moves from petition to praise. And yet even the pleas and the petitions at the beginning of the psalm are punctuated with praises. You get a little taste of it as you go along. So in the first four verses of the psalm, there are seven imperatives. Deliver, rescue, incline, save, be to me a rock, and so forth. But by verse 8, his mouth is filled with praise. And then verses 9 to 13, there are six more petitions. But again, by verse 14, we're back to praise. I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. And then the latter half of the psalm has only one petition. That petition, though, is key. When old and gray, don't forsake me. It's in verse 18. It's actually also in verse 9. So twice in this psalm, our singer is concerned that in his old age, God is going to abandon him. Evidently, the psalmist is in old age, and he is being threatened. And if we want to place it into David's life, this would fit very well with Absalom's rebellion. David is likely by that time in his 60s. And Absalom begins a rebellion. David flees from Jerusalem and has to cross the Jordan River to get away from his son. There's a conspiracy against him. And part of the hope is that because David is old and his strength is beginning to fail, that he'll be easily overcome. This is what we read in Daniel. Daniel in his old age is faced with a conspiracy. There's none to help him. We can get him, finally remove him. But the psalmist here gives voice to a fear that some of us perhaps have, but don't really want to voice. His greatest concern and fear is that after a lifelong friendship with the Lord, God will forsake him at the end. And I don't know if you who are older, if you know this fear. I don't know if at night, in the middle of the night, is there a possible fear that the relationship you've had for all of your life will fail at the end? And that somehow what you have believed will fall by the wayside because God will abandon you. I imagine it's not an uncommon attack of the evil one. What does the evil one most want to do to the life of an elder saint? Undermine his or her faith. Undermine his or her assurance of God's love. And the psalmist here gives voice to that concern. In my old age, forsake me not. But the testimony of the psalm overall is one of faith. While that may be a concern, it does not certainly get the last word. The testimony of the psalm right from the beginning is, in the Lord I take refuge. The whole psalm is set in the context of that foundation. In what are you taking refuge today? Often, our culture, we take refuge in money or in wealth. Some of us take refuge in position. Because sometimes with position comes prestige, or with position comes power. And so in our wealth or position or power, we take refuge. We might take refuge in relationships. Who do you know? I have connections, and I take refuge in those. Or it could be in your family. I take refuge in my family name. Jesus met some of those guys. They said, we have Abraham as our father. That was their trust. And he said, you don't really. Abraham's not your father. Actually, the evil one is your father. He had to straighten them out on that. But they were boasting in their lineage. We might find refuge in our spouse. As long as I have her or I have him, I'm good. Could be in our racial or sexual identity. Some skill we have. Our intellect. Any of these things. But verse 1 of Psalm 71 is so important. Because if you get the starting point wrong, everything else will go awry. Because all of those other things other than God will fail. At some point, they will fail. And the book of Proverbs warns over that over and over and over again. Because often young persons to whom the book of Proverbs is addressed are pursuing all those things. And often, throughout the book of Proverbs, you find, you know, wealth does not benefit in the day of judgment. Position doesn't benefit in the day of judgment. Relationships don't benefit in the day of judgment. So there's a warning that runs through the book of Proverbs about this very thing. Where is your trust? But it's because this relationship exists. Because the psalmist says, I have trusted in you. You are my refuge. That he can petition the Lord. We have a relationship, Lord. So deliver me, rescue me, hear me, save me. God, you are righteous. So saving me is the right and just thing to do. I am innocent. Did you hear Daniel? We read Daniel 6. He sent his angel to protect me because I was innocent. Because, King, I had done you no wrong. It's the right thing for the Lord to do to protect Daniel. So the psalmist here says, we have a relationship. You are a God of righteousness. You see what is right, so it is right for you to deliver me. Now, God saves whenever and however he chooses. And history is full of people that could have said what Daniel said, but were not delivered. And Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us of that. There were many thrown to the lions who were not delivered. There were many who were burned to death who were not delivered. But God is sovereign. And he's sovereign in how he acts. And he's sovereign in the act of regeneration, granting rebirth. And again, I've already mentioned Julie, that she'd grown up in a religious home, had heard the Bible as a young person. And then, as she shared with us, wandered off into all kinds of things, became fairly irreligious. And then saw an invitation on Nextdoor to come to a home that she didn't know, to get together with some ladies she didn't know, to do some handcrafts together. And she showed up in her 80s. And she kept showing up. And she began to figure out that these women had a relationship other than just this small group of doing crochet together. Trying to piece together that they all went, for the most part, went to the same church. And she said, I'm going to come. We've heard that a lot. I was a church planter. I wish everybody who had said, I'm going to come to your church, actually had showed up. She did. And what was more amazing was she came back. And she became a regular. And somewhere in there, God granted her new birth. This is what I believe. And we can just see her change. Well, that's her testimony. The psalmist's testimony, however, is that he was born into it. What a privilege. Julie came to it in her 80s. What a privilege to be born into it. Isaac, you are most blessed. You and your brother Bruce. So are you, Hudson. And Sam. And Griffin, and Julia. What a privilege. From birth, from even before birth, while in their mother's wombs, they're hearing the scriptures, they're hearing the psalms, they're hearing their parents pray. That's this psalmist's experience. From youth. The psalmist understands that all of life is lived coram Deo, that is before the face of God, and so directed by providence. He says, I've relied on the Lord from my youth, before my birth. I leaned on him. He was taught, says that in verse 17, I was taught by you from my youth. This is the testimony of Timothy. Paul says, from childhood you have known the sacred writings. He had a grandmother and a mother who loved the Lord, who knew the Bible and taught Timothy. It's actually Paul's testimony in Acts 26. Interestingly enough, in his defense, he says, you know my reputation from my youth and the manner of my life. Paul was a scrupulous lawkeeper. He says, I'm a Pharisee. But he knew it from the very beginning of his life. It was the testimony of Samuel in 1 Samuel 12. It says, I have walked before you from my youth until this day. It's David's experience. It was Daniel's experience. Read Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is a very young man, probably as an early teenager, knew enough to say, I don't want to defile myself by eating this other food that likely has been offered to idols, so I'm not going to do that. It's the story of Joseph. Even the rich young man that Jesus meets in Matthew 19 that has an idol of wealth, he knows the truth. Jesus says, keep the law. He says, I've done those things. And he's not being boastful. He actually had. He kept the law. Now, it wasn't matched to faith, and he had an idol of wealth, and he wanders away from Jesus, which is very sad. But my point is that all of these knew the Bible. What a privilege. What a privilege. By the way, it's the testimony of many of us in this room and on live stream. You have grown up from your youth knowing the Holy Scriptures. And some of you had parents and grandparents with the same privilege. That's amazing. And now, though, the psalmist is in old age, and he's threatened. Verse 4, wicked and unjust and cruel men. They seek his life, verse 10. They're out for blood. Again, Daniel. They were seeking his life. We have to get rid of Daniel. Absalom against David. We have to get rid of him. And they're taking advantage of him in his older age when he's physically weak. So what does he pray? Lord, don't forsake me now. And the tone of the psalm breathes confidence. It breathes confidence. The Lord won't abandon him. He is full of praise. Even in the midst of those petitions, there's praise. He will not abandon. And he won't abandon you either. That's what I want you to really take home. That should you feel that in old age, no, he will not abandon you. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And Paul goes on at the end of Romans 8 to say he's convinced that nothing can separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it leads Paul to praise, as it does the psalmist in Psalm 71. The psalmist has a testimony. Again, he's had a relationship with God all his life, so he has a testimony. And throughout, he's testifying over and over again to the Lord's goodness. Again, he's been sustained from birth. Even when others looked at him askance in verse 7, he says, I'm a portent to many. Portent is not a word we typically use. What does it mean? I'm a warning or a sign. Yeah, That's what that means. And he says, I'm a warning or a sign. So when others have been looking at him saying, there's something wrong with him, we need to take a warning from him, he says, you've been my refuge. When things looked bad in my life, you have been my refuge. And so he praises. In fact, my mouth is filled with your praises. We get to verse 14, and his hope is sustained with praise. I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. And then in verse 15, he says, I'll recount what can't be counted. And in Hebrew, there is a pun like that. I'm going to tell what can't be told. And in Old English, tell means to count. So I'm going to try to count, but I can't really recount because what you've done is too big. It's infinite. You can't count to infinity. So I'm going to recount what can't be counted. And yet it's the very acts of God, God's deeds of salvation, which gives the psalmist strength. So I want to encourage you to meditate on God's deeds of creation and providence and redemption. Because that's what the psalmist does. That's where he draws his assurance. It's from what God has done in the past. And so the singer is an evangelist at heart. Verses 18 and verse 24, he wants the next generation to know about God's power. He says, I got to tell it. I'm going to tell it. Don't leave me until I've told the next generations. I've got a story. And I'm guessing that many of you, all of you, have a story of God's faithfulness. So you who are in the owls, you who are older and wiser and lively still, do you tell that story? God has shown up in your life over and over and over again. Do you tell that story? Do your grandchildren know how God has dealt with you? Do your grandchildren know how God has sustained you? Do we? Does the community of faith? Do your neighbors? This got me thinking that I haven't run this by the educational committee or by the session or anything like that, but I got thinking in the fall, I don't know what we're going to look like as a church and how we're gathering. Will we still want to be meeting by live stream and so forth? Who knows? But I got thinking in terms of adult ed, how cool would it be that if we heard from a household about what God has done in their life? Just hear some stories. We'd deepen our knowledge of one another, and we would be encouraged how God has shown up, how he has directed and sustained each one of us. And some of you are in your 90s, and you've got a lot of stories. Some of us aren't even yet through our first year. You've got stories already, too. You just don't know it. And so in the second half of the psalm, we feel the psalm building to this crescendo of praise. Because what he asked in verse 13, deal with my enemies, put them to shame. By verse 24 at the end, he speaks as if it's already happened. It's in the past. That's faith. And there's faith even in verse 20. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. And I read it in the plural. Because in the Hebrew, it's in the plural. It's kind of strange. It's the only plurals in the psalm. Which is why most translations kind of edit those out. But it's you who have made us see many troubles and calamities will revive us again. And maybe in that verse, you can hear Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Maybe you can hear Job. You've seen me see many troubles and calamities. And we heard CJ teach on the book of Job. Maybe you can hear Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. But what does the psalmist say? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive us again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. Economic dislocation, disasters, cancer, COVID-19, oppression, injustice, even death. All those troubles and calamities don't get the last word. They do not get the last word. The Lord will revive, and He will bring up from the depths. He will increase our greatness and comfort, verse 21, which again we heard was the arc of the story of Job. Greatest man in the East, taken down to the lowest point and then exalted even higher than when he started. You will greatly increase. And so the end of the psalm is a triumphant note. My lips will shout for joy. By the way, when we sing this in a moment, we won't shout for joy. We will have joy in the heart, but it's kind of hard to shout with a mask on. But shout in your heart. We'll shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. My tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Can you hear Mordecai and Esther rejoicing over Haman, who set up a gallows for Mordecai, and by the end of the story, Haman is hanged on his own gallows? Can you hear Daniel as his rivals, those cruel and unjust, are thrown into the den of lions? Can you hear Jesus as he leaves the empty tomb? His enemies have been put to shame because of the resurrection. You saints, older and younger, the assurance of God's love, His faithfulness to you, is based on the completed work of Jesus. Jesus was put to shame. Jesus suffered injustice. Jesus became a portent, a sign of God's curse. Jesus was forsaken and cut off. And in fact, Jesus' life was cut short as he experienced the calamity of the cross. All that the psalmist prays about happened to Jesus. But having died, he was brought up again from the grave. And he was given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. He was given all authority in heaven and on earth. Why? So that we in him might shout for joy. Psalm 71 is given to you, elder saints, to remind you, to give you opportunity to pray to the Lord that he won't forsake you in old age. And the gospel reminds you that he won't, because the grave has been conquered. And so the praise of Psalm 71 drowns out the pleas. The petitions give way to praise, because at the end, God wins. and our enemies are vanquished, and all is made right. So in the midst of our present troubles, whatever they may be, we can count it all joy. We can choose to praise our God. Not as an escape from reality, but as a commentator put it, as an escape to reality. Because the reality is God wins. The reality is He will bring us up again out of the grave and give us a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. This is the grand hope. He has redeemed your soul and He has promised you life. We have every reason to praise. Unless, of course, this is not your hope. And if the opening verse is not true of you, if the Lord is not your refuge, if you've not put your trust in Him, you have every reason to be afraid. And this psalm then calls you to repent and to put your faith in Jesus and to put your faith in the Holy One of Israel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to confess Him. So as we grow older and gray hairs emerge, spend some time with Psalm 71. Let Psalm 71 become a companion to you. Let it be a defense against the evil one who may seek to undermine your faith and assurance. And let it turn your heart to praise. Lord, we bless you that you have indeed delivered us, that there is nothing that can separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for giving us Psalm 71. Thank you for giving us this testimony of an older saint. And we thank you and bless you for the older saints that are in our midst, that are over at the RP home on the north side. Lord, bless each one of them, and may they have opportunity to speak about the hope that they have and the relationship they have had. And may these young persons, these babies who have been born into our midst, may this also be their testimony at the end of their life. Many, many, many years from now. Sustain us, O Lord, in our old age. Do not forsake us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.